Well, thank you very much. And again, my name is Carla Hayes, and I jokingly say I'm from the great metropolis of McMurray, Pennsylvania. And for those of you that don't know me, I am a foreign language teacher, and I teach part-time at Central Christian Academy, where I teach Spanish, French, and German to grades 3 through 8. And then I have my own business called LanguaLearn Communications, where I in addition to teaching adults and corporate classes and some translating and developing educational materials, I also do classes for homeschoolers and tutoring. So between school and my homeschool foreign language classes, this topic has come into play for me. I'm sure that many of you had the same sort of a shutdown order. I know Pennsylvania, we got ours on March the 13th for coronavirus. And so that's why we decided to do this workshop. And its full name is Getting in Line with What's Online, an open discussion. So the descriptor said that teachers and students will come together to discuss popular online learning platforms, options, resources, and techniques for coping with teaching and learning online. So I'm going to start by making a few remarks about my journey and a few strategies that I've used and suggestions that might work in certain situations, but I'm not going to talk too long because I'm sure lots of you have a lot to say too about the various platforms that you're working on, both from a teacher and student perspective. First of all, let's talk about working with your school's learning platform. A lot of schools have these learning and data management platforms that facilitate doing the schoolwork online, their online classrooms, even doing the grade book and the submission of grades and attendance and everything online. And our school switched to a very inaccessible one called Edmodo. And the problem with Edmodo, I don't know if any of you are familiar with, it's Edmodo. Before that, we used RenWeb, which was equally inaccessible. And before that, it was, I think it was Online Classroom or Teacher's Classroom that was very accessible. But the problem with this website that we are using, and I'm sure a lot of you are running into, is that it you just exchange paperwork, you exchange grades and papers, and there isn't a lot of opportunity for actually offering the classes online. They do have to log in and different things like that. But let me just give you a few things about working with these platforms. First of all, your platform may be more accessible than you think, okay? And I found that out with a couple of previous platforms that our school was using. The trick is to learn your access technology. Learn all the little whys and wherefores and how to do things, because there are tasks in JAWS, and I'm sure on some of the screen magnification platforms and different things like that, that you may know that you don't know they exist and you don't even know what they're for. I know I found that out with Window Eyes and now JAWS. I'm really trying to learn JAWS. But try to learn everything that you can in your access technology. And if you are working with students that are blind and visually impaired and have to use access technology, they will have to be taught these things too. So you may have to go to the vendor of that technology to find out what training support is there, and also a professional, you might want to consult a professional access technology trainer. And as I said, you may also need to get help with your students. And the tricky thing here is that a lot of the TVIs could not get around personally to students. And so that has been a problem during COVID-19. So what do you do in the case when the learning platforms are simply not accessible and practical for you to use? And there are a number of reasons for these. Some of these are, they simply allow students to post their work, and they can, you can post worksheets. And how it works is the worksheets and the tests and things are scanned in image files, and then the students get them, and then they fill them out, and they take pictures of them, and your technology may not allow you to read these files. So when this happens, sometimes you need to have sighted help, and you might need to Zoom with an aide or a reader, or do this by phone, and you have to have them to be able to read the work to you, and then you correct it and fill it out, and it can be pretty clunky. And sometimes schools may not let you, unless it's a school personnel, use somebody to help you with this due to student privacy issues. But that's one thing that you can do. Now, there are also hybrid methods that you can use. Okay. And one system that I've been doing is offering my classes on Zoom and then emailing the handouts in Word formats to the students. And here the students can, they can fill out the handouts in Word if they're capable of doing that and submit them to you. And you could probably be totally independent if you use Zoom in that way. And you're able to actually sit down and do a physical class. Now, you may not be able to take attendance, and this could be an issue. But if... and if the school doesn't accept that and they make you still work with your school platform, then what you could do is offer the classes on Zoom and send them the handouts via Word, and then have them go back to the school platform and do what I said before, have somebody help you to correct their work. And Zoom is not the only interactive platform. I just want to suggest to you now, there are some very creative ways of using things like free conference call. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with freeconferencecall.com. You might be using it for meetings and different things that you're doing. And it has a lot of things that you may not even know about. For example, there is a capability of not only the person calling in by phone, but there's also a desktop application. Another thing is each free conference call line comes with a playback line so that you can post recordings of lessons. And I've been using it very creatively with my chapter, my council chapter, of posting a recording of just a summary of the meeting, and also with homeschoolers, posting short versions of lessons that I do. And then you assign them to go up and access the recording. And the beauty of this system is it allows you, believe it or not, to take attendance or to keep track of the students that are accessing the recordings, because as an administrator, you get back all of the time a report about every time your recordings were accessed, so you can keep track of whether the students went up and accessed those recordings. And I think that's pretty cool myself. So so that is something that you can keep in mind. So other systems might have similar things that you can use. So that's something that I wanted to bring up as a possibility that some of you may not have thought about. So before I turn this over to other people that might want to comment on how they're doing some of these things, does anybody have any quick questions for me?
Okay, thanks. Thanks. Yes, I wanted to ask a question about the when you use it for classes. I'm trying to set up some online classes. What do you think is, you think free conference is better than the Zoom?
I would say not necessarily. It depends on your goals and objectives. And believe it or not, it doesn't have to be an all or everything. You know, I mean, you can use a hybrid of integrating both of them. Free conference call, I'm going to give you the contact information so that you can investigate all of its capabilities. So what I would suggest is that you investigate the capabilities of whatever conferencing system. And there are other ones, too. There's Chorus Call, and I don't know, there are a bunch of them. And so I would say, and think about the goals and objectives that you have in mind, the tasks you need to do, and then make an evaluation on that basis. So basically, if you wanted to check out Free Conference Call, you would go to freeconferencecall.com. And it's spelled just as one big word, no capital letters, just as it sounds. And it has, it's free, but they do take donations, and it's more than just calls. And it includes a free desktop and mobile app, screen sharing, video conferencing, call recording and playback capabilities, Q&A, muting, etc. And so you can visit that website, or you can call their customer care 24/7 toll free at 1-844-844-1322. And I'll repeat that, 1-844-844-1322. And I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't experimented yet with their desktop app, you know what I mean? So I can't really speak to it as far as its accessibility. Zoom is very accessible. Now, if you're thinking about Zoom, it's very popular. A lot of people are used to it. It's multi-platform conferencing service for conducting meetings and classes and interviews. And you can use a free account, but if you're going to be conducting classes, I would suggest getting a pro account, which if you pay for it all at once, the price comes down. It's like $14 a month, but if you pay $149 for the year, it comes down to 12 something a month. And participants can join via telephone, PC, Mac, or by using OS or Android devices. And it is used by a lot of educational institutions and teachers to augment distance learning. And so I'm going to give you their website. You would go to http://www.zoom.us. It's not .com, it's .us, www.zoom.us. Or you can call at 1-888-799-9666. Again, that's 1-888-799-9666. And it has recording capabilities both in the cloud and also just on the app or on in the program. So, and there are a number of tutorials out there for Zoom. So, okay, I'm going to open this up and I'm going to let our person that's you know, helping us with raised hands and everything to call on people so that we can do some sharing.
Kate?
Yes, I'm okay. Okay, I'm unmuted now. It took a few Alt A's before I could do that. I just wanted to say a few things, and this may be pretty self-evident if people have been using Zoom for a long time, or what seems like a long time. It's only been about a few months, but it years. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Kate Crohan Perkins, but our school has a Zoom account, so we had to switch to using our school Zoom account. Before that, I had a free one, and I don't know, Carla, if you, I was told anyway that you can't get help with Zoom, at least through the phone number, if you have a free account, so...
I believe that is true. And and the other thing is, if you have a free account, I don't think that, I guess if you have an account, you can be identified online. But really, the other limitation of a free account, if you're really going to use this for classes, for more than one other person, it cuts you off after 40 minutes. So you can do one-on-one tutoring as long as you want. But once you add another person after 40 minutes, whing, you're out. It doesn't unless make a noise, but.
Yeah, unless you get your account through, you know, we had to switch to school accounts. And there
school accounts is another
thing. There were all kinds of rules about not recording meetings and that kind of thing. So, but I've been really, you know, aside from the limitations of Zoom and that some students do better, you know, being in a classroom versus being online, I've been so heartened by all that we've been able to do with Zoom. So, a wonderful thing. I don't know what we'd all do without it at this point. There is a book that Heather Thomas from the Carroll Center wrote about Zoom with tons of about, you know, iOS, and has a very well laid out table of contents. I got it as a Word document so I can read it if I feel like it, or using JAWS quick keys to navigate by heading levels on the computer. So that's a good resource. And I'm trying to think, I'm trying to get everything I was going to say in while I'm on, but I guess that's it for now.
Betsy, you should be able to unmute.
Thank you. I'm Betsy Doan. I'm from Shelton, Connecticut. I teach at Housatonic Community College. Lately, I've been helping faculty get online. A lot of them, you know, it's curious. Some know all about it and some don't, and there's a whole lot that don't. So we've been real busy doing some of that. The other resource for Zoom is, of course, Jonathan Mosen's book. If you go to, what is it, mosen.com? I don't remember.
But I'll get that information for you.
Okay. So, you know, his book is very complete. It doesn't include the more recent business of allowing people in if you have it set up that way, but it is complete, and I don't think you'll have trouble. Everything is there, pretty much. So that's what I used. At the college that I teach at, we use Blackboard, and if there are any college students out there that need help with Blackboard, I know it very well. You can contact me. My email address, let me give it to you, is, I'm a ham operator, radio operator, so it's the letter K followed by the number 1, E as in echo, I as in item, C as in Charlie, K1EIC@ATT.net, and I'll be very happy to help you with that. The other resource I wanted to tell you about, I have some tips in Blackboard and on how to do mathematics. Blackboard has in the text editor, you can, if you know the right language, actually enter mathematics, and it comes out as you would like to hear it in JAWS. But for the sighted user, it comes out as graphical mathematics. So it's a wonderful thing. If the sighted user uses their math editor in Blackboard, it comes out perfect for JAWS. And if you guys use it in the right language, in text, doing the right things, it will come out just right for you, and it will come out just right for them. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that I don't know whether everyone knows about, there's this place called Tech Vision LLC. That's Tech Vision, T-E-C-H Vision. It's run by Dr. Denise
Robinson.
Robinson, I know it. Dr. Denise Robinson. And her mission is to help students who are in public schools. Of course, you know, the districts, if the districts will or someone will fund some of that assistance, she does give assistance to those students as a help, and along with, of course, along with what's needed by the student or by the teacher. The other thing I use, and it's not thoroughly accessible, certainly not, but I use it, and I use is WebEx. And I'm getting into Microsoft Teams. Some people are learning that lately. At one point I saw screen sharing work. I haven't been able to get it to work all the time, but I'm experimenting with Teams, and I know Freedom Scientist Vespero is putting more training material as they figure it out as well, and so forth. So that's all I know. Thought I'd share. Thanks.
Okay, and about Teams, I also want to it mentioned that HumanWare has, if you use HumanWare devices, they're a lot of they've been having these webinars every Tuesdays and Thursdays on blindness products at noon, but now it's every Thursdays. They have been doing some of their seminars on Teams. So if you go to humanware.com/support and then go down to COVID-19 and live webinars and look at the topics, you'll see some of that. And before I flip the mic to somebody, I do have the Zoom information that you, if you're attending or hosting Zoom events, you might want to download Jonathan Mosen's book, which he has made free for the time being. It's called Meet Me in the Cloud, A Guide to Zoom Meetings from a Blindness Perspective. And it's pretty thorough. It's a 3-hour description of how to use Zoom on a range of different platforms with a screen, reader, and it's very good. And so let me see here. You can download this free from http://mosen.org/zoom. Okay. So that http://mosen.org/zoom. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is Mystic Access also has they have a free webinar that they did on Zoom, and that can be downloaded at http://www.mystic.access/zoom-demo, and it's more than a demo. And they also have a paid tutorial that you can get on that's more thorough on Zoom. And so just visit www.mysticaccess.com and you can find out about that. And
we have several hands raised.
Okay, so I just wanted to do that. So let's go back to the hands.
This is Deb Marino from Oregon. I didn't realize there was a window in the middle of my phone as well as the little button you usually use. I am a teacher and I teach electricians and I also teach mental health professionals. I mostly use Zoom. And one of my questions, if I have because I have a little bit of sight left, have RP, I keep the monitor far enough away so that I can see people better, more of them at one time and keep track of what they're doing. But then I can't see the clock on the computer. And I've tried a number of different things. So I'm interested in whatever people use to. I do know some Braille, so it's trying to use my Braille display. But so that's one question. The second one was, at times, if I like to use Fusion, but I don't find it working well with Zoom, so I turn it off, visually. So I shut it down before I start Zoom. And about every 10th or 20th time when I go to share the screen, there's nothing to share. It's only the whiteboard, the PowerPoint I have open, and all the other things that always work don't work. And I didn't know if that was just my computer or what. So if I reboot and make everybody go away and come back, then it all works again. And then the third thing, I tried to use the Whiteboard for some math and some drawings, and it was too, I couldn't see it. And was there anything I can do to make that work better? So that's my questions.
I would say unless anybody has an answer, maybe somebody has some tricks or tips they can share. That might be, an occasion to contact Freedom Scientific Vespero and ask them. I've heard a lot of people say that sometimes the whiteboard and the screen sharing isn't as accessible as it can be, but maybe somebody knows some tricks and tips.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I'm a student. I'm going to George Mason University, and I'm in Arlington, Virginia. And I was on this call because I was hoping to, well, that the content was really interesting to me because I've not done online classes before, and we're going to be having our semester online. And I have some vision. So I'm working with the Department for the Blind, but I'm not sure what kind of assistive technology they're going to give me before the school semester starts. So I'm basically relying on my iPhone and an iPad that cannot be updated past iOS 10. So
oh.
I'm limited. I have no laptop. And so my reason why I'm calling is because I use mostly the magnification, but I'm trying to implement VoiceOver because I'm not a very, when I did have a laptop, it was really hard for me to remember all these JAWS commands. So I do have some vision, but I need to learn to be more auditory. And I've had some issues with Blackboard before. In my community college. I was just wondering if you guys have any suggestions as far as accessibility for Blackboard or any of the online platforms or any suggestions for online learning for me, especially since I don't know if I can get assistive technology before my semester starts. So I'll be doing everything on my phone and my iPad. Thank you.
Donna, this is Tabitha. Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
I am. Okay. So I would say as much as you can, Rachel, this is Tabitha. I'm in Alabama, and I'm an accommodation specialist at Auburn. So I would talk as much as you can with somebody in your, you know, disability services office, whatever they call, you know, office of accessibility, and see as much as you can about, you know, are they using Blackboard? Are they using Canvas? And then just trying to use the mobile apps and see how well they work on your phone. I as much as you can, try to advocate for getting your computer before the semester starts, because it's very hard to play catch up and learn a new system once the school year starts. I know that from experience. When I started my PhD, when I went back to school, I had used Blackboard around 2000, and then in 2011 when I went back to school, it was Canvas, and I had to start learning to use that right as school was starting. So that can be a real trial. But yeah, I would definitely try to get access to an account, you know, if you don't have it already, and really test things out on your phone.
We have seven hands raised. So Miranda, you should have a message to unmute.
Hi. So I am actually here as a graduate student. I'm getting my master's in social work, and I've been an online learner primarily for about 7 years. I've done some residential courses, but I've been primarily online. And I'm here for a couple of reasons. One, because I just wanted to be a resource to anyone who has questions and be able to provide whatever input and insight I can provide. But I'm also interested in this topic because after getting my master's in social work, I would actually like to consider teaching online as part of my professional career. So I actually want to respond to Rachel. I am in Virginia, and I am also a client of the Virginia Department for the Blind. And Rachel, the first thing I can suggest to you is you need to reach out to the Department for the Blind. Reach out to your vocational counselor and have them work with you on getting the technology that you need. I use Blackboard on my phone, but I don't use it to submit assignments or write assignments. I'm typically using it to, you know, check the schedule, you know, kind of check my grades. Some of it's a little funky. and I'm using an iPhone for that. But I highly encourage you, reach out to the Department for the Blind. They could probably also work with you on, you know, you're saying that you want to increase your knowledge of the screen reading software, such as VoiceOver or whatever they end up giving you. It's also worth advocating to see, you know, what they're going to give you, or maybe share with them what you're familiar with and what you're not, and they can work with you. I've had them do different technology stuff with me. So I would highly suggest reach out to them and have a good heart-to-heart conversation with them and their technology specialists and such. So as a fellow Virginian and a fellow client of the Department of the Blind, I wanted to reach out and say that to you, Rachel. But again, I'm here as a grad student, willing to share resources and tips and tricks. I'm familiar with Blackboard. I'm familiar with Zoom. I'm familiar with WebEx. I'm a little familiar with Teams. I'm a JAWS user. Like I said, I use an iPhone, but I'm also curious and interested in teaching online as well. So this information is just helpful because I feel like no matter whether it's pre or post pandemic, you know, technology is what it is. And so
Miranda, since you are offering your yourself as a resource, can you tell us how one might contact you, spell your name? And
sure. Sure. So my name is Miranda, M-I-R-A-N-D-A. My last name is Borka. That's B as in boy, O-R-K-A. And I can be reached via email at M-K-B-O-R-K-A. Again, that's M for Miranda, K, B as in boy, O-R-K-A at gmail.com.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Great.
This is Amanda, thank you, from Orlando, and I teach online as well as I am a graduate student, and of course we're doing a lot online, and I would also be more than happy to be a resource. We've used Zoom a lot in the past, but because of a lot of the security issues, I work both in the K-12 setting as well as in the college setting, and We're using WebEx and Teams just because of the security concerns, especially with kids in K-12. Another that I've seen being used a lot is Google Classroom, not so much in the post-secondary setting, but we're using Google Classroom a lot for K-12 kids, so teachers that are teaching in that age group. So I'm available if anybody needs any assistance with any of that. We also use Canvas. We don't use Blackboard at this time, but we use Canvas. So,
okay. So would you mind giving your name and contact information while we're doing this?
Absolutely. So my email is...
Well, first of all, your name, please.
Sure. So my name is Amanda Lannon, L-A-N-N-A-N. And my email address is, it's Mandy Lannon, that's M-A-N-D-I-L-A-N-N-A-N at gmail.com.
Okay, thank you so much.
Gary, you, I think, are already unmuted. You're ready to go.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to mention another resource that Carla had mentioned, the Jonathan Mosen book. There's another book from Carroll Center for the Blind. I cannot remember the title, but it's got Zoom in the title. It's a little more up to date than Jonathan's. It's not, he narrates his. This one is either in Braille or in Word format. And it's, I think it's a little shorter, and I think it gets to the issues a little quicker, maybe. I think it costs about $18, something like that. And it's very good if you want it. It's from the Carroll Center for the Blind. But also, I wanted to talk about screen sharing a minute. I didn't hear everything Betsy said because I got distracted. So she already said this, forgive me. If you go to basic screen sharing and then share your screen, full screen, then go to your word processor and either bring a blank document up or a document you want to show up, and then go back to your Zoom meeting, you can type on that I mean, you can stay in your word processor and type on that document, or bring a document up, and your person in Zoom can see it just as if you were typing it on a projector in your classroom, and it works very well. You can also share, of course, sound. I played French tapes through mine, so my student could hear that. It works very well. It's not hard to do at all.
So the process is you go to screen sharing in Zoom, and then you go to a Word document, right?
Well, yeah, but you can either open the Word doc. Yeah, you go to share screen sharing in Zoom, share your whole screen. Then go to your word processor and either bring a blank document up, or if you want to show a document, bring that up, and your student will be able to see it. Just be careful that you don't have anything open on your screen that you don't want anyone to see, because they're going to see whatever is on your screen.
Okay, that's a very good tip. I know you'd shared that before.
Okay, this next one, and I might say it wrong. I'm just saying it like John says it, Reen or something. So you may unmute.
So my name is Reen, and I work as a disability coordinator. And the reason I'm joining this workshop is because I really, you know, would love to hear more about like people's experiences, because I'm in the process of providing workshops for faculty members on how to make things accessible. And my major challenge here is like, you know, so we use D2L, and D2L is very accessible. And we use Yuja for like recording videos. But my major challenge is making sure that the captions are correct, like displayed correctly. So I'm wondering if anyone has experienced that before, like, because, you know, when it comes to universal design, we want to make sure that, you know, everything's accessible, especially for people who are, you know, hard of hearing. And so I'm wondering if there are any resources when it comes to captioning.
Now, are you talking in Zoom or?
In Zoom, and also in like, so my plan is to record the videos on D2L, which is the platform that we are using here. And so we use a software called Yuja. And so my plan is to, you know, put the lessons and then, you know, have a Zoom meeting with faculty members.
Okay, does anybody have any experience with any of those platforms? I know with Zoom, Jonathan Mosen does cover captioning in his book a little bit.
Okay, we have a lot of people with raised hands. Kate, I know you're one of them, but I'm going to, there's some people who haven't said anything yet. I just, you know, I don't know what, if they have questions or, so. Melissa, you should be able to unmute and talk.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my real name is Sama, but I would just like to be called Melissa. And I don't live in the United States. I live in Dubai. I don't really go to school here, because here in Dubai, they aren't really that best with accessibility or education when it comes to the blind in general. So I was just thinking, like, if you guys have any resources for me, if I could kind of complete my high school online or anything like that, because I use a JAWS screen reader on a Windows 10, and I can do English and like other like theory work just fine. But then a lot of people here had a lot of trouble kind of explaining what science or math is. So especially science, like chemistry or physics, like they've had a lot of trouble explaining to me how it works or what it's about. And even math, a lot of people have had trouble explaining all the concepts and all that. So I was wondering if any of you guys can or do know any resources that can help me out with those things.
Have you enrolled in the Hadley School for the Blind? I believe they take international students, and they might be able to help you to complete your high school courses online.
I looked at their website about a few months ago, but I think they don't take international students anymore. I have to go back.
they've also sort of changed their high school programming too. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, because English and like humanities and all that, like those are fine. I can do that because that's mainly text work. Like I'm able to understand and work with that, but this math and science, it's like a lot of people are having trouble explaining those concepts to me.
Do you have a teacher of the visually impaired or like somebody who?
No. Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. very lacking here.
What country are you from?
The United Arab Emirates. I live in Dubai.
Wow. Okay. We're going international here, folks. Man, I wish I had answers for you. We have several people with raised hands. So, you know, maybe somebody in that group has an answer. So how about if we just see if somebody has an answer?
Thank you, though. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Wish you all the best.
Kate, I'm not ignoring you. I really am not. But I'm going to let Kathy Whitaker, Schmidt Whitaker, anyway. Whoops. Kathy, I think you should be able to unmute.
Hello. This is Kathy Schmidt Whitaker from Diamond Bar, California. And I would like to just share two items, one being with Zoom and one with Teams. From the Zoom standpoint, I use both the personal professional Zoom where I have the Zoom account. And then I also use the enterprise account for the university I work for. I noticed that there are some, there's some slight discrepancies between the two in terms of for use. So just be aware of that, students. And you go from one version to another. That it may not be your JAWS or your screen reader. It may be the Zoom and how it's been set up through the enterprise or your school versus you're using it in a personal setting, for example. The second thing is that I've learned is that the web setting for Zoom is much easier to navigate and has much more options for controls than using the setting in the Zoom app itself. So if you go to the web and you do the zoom.us and then you log in, in the web using your username and password for Zoom, there will be a lot more features that you'll be able to utilize in settings and be able to set up so you can automatically have it start with your audio on, with the computer audio on, for example. And those different little things can really help in the success of using Zoom as well. The other item with Teams.
Kathy, this is Donna Brown. Do you use Zoom at all with like magnification?
No, actually, unfortunately, my eyesight has decreased enough where I need to use it with the JAWS now. I use it all with screen reader. I do know a couple of people who use it with the magnification, and they've used the Zoom with the Zoom.
Right.
And that, there's kind of pros and cons.
Okay.
In terms of Teams, the other tip with Teams is that I was becoming very frustrated because I wasn't able to get JAWS to work with Teams. And finally, I called the Freedom Scientific Help Desk, and they shared that there is a glitch between the new version of JAWS and Teams. And so if you hold down the Windows key, if you're having difficulty accessing the information with the JAWS and the Teams, hold down the Windows key, do up arrow, down arrow, up arrow, down arrow, up arrow, and it should be able to work. And it did work for me. Hold down the Windows key. So on my laptop, it is the second key in from the left of the space bar, and it's called the Windows key.
Windows key, and then you go up, arrow, down, up, down.
Yep. And so you hold down the Windows key the whole entire time, doing arrow, down, arrow, up, arrow, down, arrow, up, arrow. And that way, it should be able to work. They do know it's a glitch, and they are working on it. But it was amazing. It was like so frustrating because before that people said, oh, it works, and it wasn't working, and that after doing that it worked.
Thank you.
Okay. Kate, you can unmute.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. I just wanted to say a quick tip to the person who was from Virginia, is trying to be acclimated to software and all that before going to school. I would agree with everything that I think it was Miranda said about getting anything that you can, any training beforehand. And if you don't have it, I would also recommend getting a portable keyboard to go with your phone, because it can make a huge difference in terms of how efficiently you can type and how quickly, unless you use the on-screen Braille keyboard. But I really, I found having a keyboard really helpful. I got one that's a foldable, pluggable Bluetooth keyboard that the AT guy sells.
So. Okay. Jessica, you should be able to unmute.
Hello, everybody. This is Jessica.
Hello.
Hi. So I am a professor at Long Beach City College, and I wanted to address the issue with closed captioning for, I forgot her name, but she mentioned she was trying to create resources for her teachers. So what I use in order to caption my videos with closed captioning, it used to be called TechSmith Relay. I believe it's now called TechSmith Nomia, I believe.
Can you spell it?
I'm sorry?
Can you spell it?
Of course, I can spell it. It's TechSmith, so T-E-C-H, and then Smith, as of like kind of like John Smith, and then Nomia is K as in kangaroo, N as in nugget, O as in octopus, W as in walrus, M as in monkey, I as in ice cream, A as in apple. Okay. So Nomia, I know it's odd that they changed the name. So two things about that one. For the closed captioning, I find it simple because it's kind of like when you upload a video to YouTube and you put on the automatic closed captioning, it will do a way better job than YouTube. And all you have to do is just edit the grammar. Sometimes the grammar doesn't come out okay, so I just kind of go back and check if it's spelled correctly. And then it has the option for you to get the transcript. So in case someone is using a screen reader and wants to check on that, you can kind of paste that in a separate, like in the description for your students. And then now they have a new option where you can actually upload the audio description for the video. So I thought that was super cool when you're looking at accessibility and creating a universal design. So hopefully professors are now thinking about putting audio description on those videos as well.
Jessica, this is Tabitha. If I can ask, when you're using the TechSmith Nomia, will it work with different recording apps like Panopto or the one that Reem was mentioning? Is it Yuja or something? Do you know?
So the way that TechSmith Nomia works, you just save the video to your computer. So you can record on anything, honestly. If you have a computer and you have your favorite recording system, sometimes I use QuickTime Player, or sometimes I use Zoom and I just download the file. And then you just upload it to TechSmith Nomia. And then that's when it's like I said, it's kind of like YouTube where you just upload the video, but then it does a way better job with the captioning. Okay. And then you go edit, and then you can, I mean, some people can do editing on the video itself. Like you can cut the video, but I think that's too much. So we're trying to survive with just, recording the video. Sometimes because I have a Mac, I sometimes record my videos in higher quality on the iMovie feature. So I use iMovie. I save it as high res as I can, even though it's a big file. So make sure that you have enough gigabytes or you have an external hard drive on your computer so you can have like a good quality video with sound too, and then you can just upload it to Nomia.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, of course. And it's saved there too. You can even give quizzes to your students on it so they know that they're paying attention. It's very interesting.
Thank you.
Of course, you're welcome.
One of our newest members, Deborah Baxley, you should be able to unmute.
I'm Deborah Baxley from Louisiana, and I just wanted to tell the student that wants to attend high school that Hadley, I just checked about a day ago, Hadley School for the Blind still has no high school program.
Oh, they used to. That's disappointing.
I know they used to, but they changed that, I guess, when they changed to Hadley Institute.
I think it's only been about a year ago that they pretty much did away with it.
Right, right. So that's all I wanted to say. So
okay.
I don't know how to use Zoom very well. I don't know how to get out of this.
I'm going to disable your talking, so you all should right. be okay. Gudrun.
Okay. Well, I was also thinking about Melissa in Dubai here. And it seems to me don't we have a lot of resources on the American Association, on the AABT resource page? Are there any science books there, math and science? That's what my question was. And also, do we have any ACB members that are either teaching or or studying that could help explaining some of these things to that she can get some advice and tutoring maybe from
Well, I would suggest checking out our website and also Bookshare. I wonder if this student has checked out Bookshare, because there are all kinds of...
There is a lot of material on Bookshare, and Bookshare is something, I think it's free if you're a student. Then you have to have a doctor's certifying that you have a visual impairment, and that's bookshare.org, bookshare.org if you haven't heard about that, Melissa. It seems that there should be some way of helping with, somebody should have some material or time to help locate some more resources, because they may, I take it that you're comfortable studying the science subjects in English.
But it is bookshare.org. And I'm not sure about students that aren't American citizens, if it's free for them to get the NIMAC books or not, but that's something you could ask them.
Oh. Okay. I have no idea how to pronounce this name, and I'm really sorry. Abjuda something. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But you should be able to talk.
Okay. Hi, my name is Birgitta Blockland, and I'm from the European Blind Union, which is a member of the World Blind Union. And the reason I raised my hand was also to make a suggestion for Melissa. As the World Blind Union collaborates very closely with ICVI, which is the International Council for Education of the Visually Impaired, which is a worldwide organization where many, many distant learning teachers for the blind are a member also. So perhaps Melissa could get in touch with the international offices of the WBU and ICVI, and perhaps they can then help her get in touch with people from her region or from other regions where she could maybe get some help on distance learning in the topics she wants to be taught.
Do you happen to have a website that one might go to?
ICVI is icvi.org.
So it's V as in Victor, I?
No, it's International C Council for Education, E, Visually Impaired, V-I.
I-C-E-V-I.
V-I.org.
I see.
And the WBU, the World Blind Union, is, oh, I would have to check. I'm not sure if it's org at the end or NGO. I could check and let you know if I have an email to send it to.
Okay. Why don't you send it to me, Langwo? In fact, I want all of you to, anybody that has any resources they want to share with me.
Exactly, or that it's easier.
Share your own expertise with me. If you could send that, my email address, my name is Carla, C-A-R-L-A, Hayes, and I'm going to give you my email address. It's Langual, L-E-N-G-U-A-L, at Verizon, V-E-R-I-Z-O-N.net. That's Langual, L-E-N-G-U-A-L, at Verizon.net.
We still have a couple of hands raised, and Campbell, you may unmute.
I'm Campbell Rutherford. I am a rising high school senior from Dandridge, Tennessee. And I had a couple of resources for Melissa. The first one, if you are looking at getting, if you're looking at understanding STEM subjects, math and science, stuff like that more thoroughly, as far as the math side of it goes, there's a guy from India who is blind who has a YouTube channel, and he's started uploading videos explaining some math concepts in a way that's easy for visually impaired individuals to understand. His name is Bhavya Jha. That's B as in Bravo, H as in hotel, A as in apple, V as in Victor, Y as in Yankee, and A as in apple. And then his last name, S as in Sierra, H as in hotel. And I think it's just A at the end as in alpha. There may be an H, I can't remember. But he's started with the basics, but I think he's going to get more complex as it goes on. He's kind of in basic algebra right now. And also, I don't know if Tech Vision is international, but I am receiving training from Tech Vision that Betsy Doan mentioned. She's actually one of my teachers. And if you need help as far as presenting your work in an online class or presenting math and things like that, then they could probably help you if you could get connected with them.
And do you have a website for Bhavya Jha?
It's just his YouTube channel. It's it's just his name.
Oh, okay.
His YouTube channel is.
That's great information. Wow. Kathy, you should be able to unmute.
Hi. Wanted to respond in regards to the auto captioning as well. Great suggestion or source there in terms of the text myth, Jessica. Thank you. Reem, and for anyone else who's interested in the auto captioning piece of it, what you may want to also do at your institution is talk with your technology folks or whoever is responsible for like your media vision area or technology and ask them, like with the UAsia, is it something that the services the server that you upload, does that actually have an auto captioning feature built into it that can be turned on? So for example, similar to that, at the university I work at, there's Kaltura, and it's a server that you upload your video to, and they actually have a feature which automatically auto captions the video when it's uploaded. And you have to turn that feature on for it to be active. But when they turn it on from the server perspective, every video that's uploaded is automatically captioned. And then you go in to that Kaltura server and you can then edit the captions for accuracy purposes. So that would be my suggestion. Check and see in regards to your institution and what your institution is using. Otherwise, there's also otter.ai. It does cost, but maybe your institution would be willing to purchase that to also utilize, because it is a requirement that public institutions or universities, even if they are private and they receive federal funding, do need to provide accessible videos, captioning, as well as audio description as needed. And so they may be willing to purchase that.
Thank you very much.
I just want everybody to know that we had up to 68 people, most of the time 63. This was fabulous.
It really was.
Thank you. And I want to thank you all.
And if anyone wants to join Blind Teachers, you can go to blindteachers.net, or you can contact me, Donna Brown, and my name's plastered everywhere.